He was not a hireling. And he started off taking care of his father Jesse's sheep. And see, when the wolf came, or the bear, or the lion, he wasn't a hireling. He cared for the sheep. And he didn't go running off to save his own hide. He says, I fought with the lion, and I smote the bear. And the God that delivered me out of their hand will deliver me out of the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine also. But that's why God watched him for years and watched his heart. So when it came time to appoint a king, or you could say a shepherd over Israel, the flock of God, he chose a man with a shepherd's heart. Now this is the part that Tim Stemple taught me. He asked me one day, he says, Gary, have you been to Israel? And I said, no. He said, if you ever go, he says, you'll get to see a shepherd, how they operate there. And it's a little different than the way they do it in the United States. He says, you know when Jesus talked about when the shepherds would bring them into the fold, and they have what they call a sheep gate, and scattered all out through the hills and the valleys over there, they have built these prearranged little places of protection to keep the sheep at night, and where you can kind of keep them in one spot where you can keep an eye on them. But he says the way the shepherd operates, he says, the shepherd stands at the sheep gate, and it's just wide enough where he can stand there, and one sheep at a time passes between his legs. And as the sheep comes through, he kind of closes his legs. Now remember, the sheep know their shepherd. And he starts looking the sheep over to see if during the day he had been wounded, bitten by a snake, had anything happened to the sheep. And if he was wounded or if he was bleeding, then the shepherd had a flask of salve, and he had another flask of ointment and oil. And wherever he saw that the sheep had been hurt or wounded, then he would rub in the oil, and he would rub in the salve. And at the same time, he would speak words, and he would assure the sheep, it's going to be okay. You're safe. You're in my fold, and I'll be watching everything tonight. Don't you worry about a thing. It's safe. Boy, if that's not the heart of our shepherd. And I was watching the shepherd work through this shepherd. And it was just, I was just seeing that picture just so strong in my spirit. That's the heart that's after God's own heart. That's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just had to share that with you. But he is doing that tonight. And he's still continuing to do it, not just bodily healings, but healings in the motions. You know, when you get hurt physically. You get hurt internally, too. Sometimes when you get hurt internally, it'll show up physically. But I'm telling you, the Good Shepherd is here tonight to heal spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, we worship you. We are the sheep of your pasture. We are the flock of your hand, O Lord. We worship you, our shepherd. We praise you, O Lord. Lord, speak to your people tonight, Lord. Speak those words of comfort. Tell them it's going to be okay, Lord. Because it is, as long as we put our trust in you. Why should we fear when we're safely in your fold? You've already, Lord, brought us into the fold, and you're our shepherd, our protector, our provider. Why should we have a care? We love you, Lord. We are at peace. Thank you for that peace, that safety of knowing that we are enfolded in your love. Hand feed your people tonight, Lord. Hand feed them. Let them feel your stroke upon their brow. Let them hear your voice saying, I love you. I understand. I'll take care of it. You just have a good night's sleep. Leave everything in my hand. Lord, speak to your people. Touch them. Love them. Let them know it's going to be okay. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Father, for the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, and all the people say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel like I already had church. Hallelujah. To be honest with you, I'm going slow because I just want to make sure it's okay to do this. I don't care what Jesus does here, do you? I don't care if we sing all night, worship all night, pray in tongues all night, do a Jericho march around the church. Who cares? I don't know. Hallelujah. Jesus, just be God to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, boy. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I remember. Hallelujah. Mondero frandus dion Christus. Yes, sir. Candarello frato piandus. Be opening your Bibles to Mark 4. I love Jesus. I used to go and get so sloppy drunk in the bars, you know, trying to have a good time, and come in on all fours because I couldn't walk, and manage back to the back bedroom and hug up to the toilet bowl, heave my socks up and say, boy, I can't wait to do that again next week. I'm telling you that the natural unsaved mind is sick. Isaiah said, from the top of the head to the crown of the, to the sole of the feet, it's sick. I didn't know what happiness and joy and peace was until I met the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, it's good to have fun in church. It's good to have a good time. Now, for those of you that's been around charismatic circles for a while, whenever a preacher says, now open your Bibles to Mark 4, although you're very polite about it, on the inside there's a I have heard 10,000 messages on Mark 4, you know. And I know what you mean. And I taught on Mark 4 real strong at one of the conference meetings. And from then to now, and that's only been a few months, he's shown me so much out of Mark 4, it's like I never read it in my life. And I know all those things that you think I'm going to say. Now let's just summarize the traditional message real quick out of Mark 4, because it's all right. It's all right. But you're going to see it from a different perspective. And until I saw this part, there was one little verse in here that I never could make sense out of until I started seeing it from a different perspective. And then once I saw it, oh my God. Now the traditional message out of Mark 4 is this. Basically, the sower sows the word. Okay, we know the word is the word of God. We sow that word into our spirits by meditating it, speaking it. For example, let's say you needed a healing, so you would take healing scriptures. You would sow the word into your heart. For example, by His stripes I was healed. The Lord blesses my bread and my water, and He takes sickness away from the midst of me. You are the Lord my God, my healer. And you speak those and meditate on them, and you sow it into your heart. Now the devil, you know, he says he comes immediately to take away the word, doesn't he? You know, and affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake. But if you persevere and you keep on, you keep that seed planted. Amen, Mary. it'll grow, 30-fold, 60-fold, and then it says, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, and you get, bless God, your healing. Isn't that right? Yeah. How is that for about a 2-minute summary of Mark 4? Okay? That's perfectly all right. That is exactly right. That is how faith works. That is how the kingdom of God works. May I? Would you mind to stand up, Marianne? Diagnosed with terminal cancer. Got healed exactly this way out of Mark 4. And with the good services of the medical profession. Amen. But when I called and talked with her, I said, "How you doing?" She's in the hospital. She said, "I'm sitting here reading my confession." That's what she told me. I knew then she was going to be okay. I knew she was going to make it. Because the Word of God cannot fail. Amen. Hallelujah. Cancer lost that one, glory to God. It'll lose... and it'll lose every time because cancer is a name and it has to bow its knee to the name that is above every name. See, there is no such thing as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John just working for some people. There's no such thing as it working for Marianne and not you. The same thing that works for Marianne works for you. God is no respecter of persons. What He does for one, He will do for the other. The examples you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the one, and you are the other. It'll work for you. So Mark 4, believe me, I am not taking anything away from Mark 4. If you don't know how to operate that way, and if you haven't heard those messages, I assure you, get with Pastor Bronk. He'll give you some tapes on it. Because that is how faith works. But now the last few nights, those of you that's been here, what the Lord's been doing, He's just been taking the Word of God like a sword, and He's been dividing asunder in our thinking. Once and for all, we are no longer in the same position as the Israelites under the Old Testament. We are not in the same position. We are in a different covenant that operates a different way. See, and real quickly in summary, without going through the verses, and there's a lot of meat on those tapes, and you ought to get them. If you don't like them, we'll give you your money back. They are free. And there's a lot of meat on there. And for some of you, it's not the messenger, it's the message. You understand what I'm saying? And you need to hear those several times until you've got it in you like I've got it in me. And I'm telling you, it's going to take a few times. I didn't get this overnight, and you're not going to either. Just because you heard me preach it does not mean you can walk in it. Amen. You with me? Amen. Now, but real quickly, what the Lord's been doing. See, because what we're headed for, again, the whole reason that I'm here, really the whole reason Bronk is here, the whole reason you people here, revival, a real revival, is coming to Immokalee. A Holy Ghost revival that man can't produce. Man is not going to be able to schedule this one. You know, revival, Wednesday night, begins 7 p.m., ends Friday night, 9 p.m., thank you very much. You know, and when you go to those, like I've gone to those forever, sure, there's preaching and there's things, and I know God does what He can there. What I mean by what He can, where He's not so limited by faith, a lack of it. But a real Holy Ghost revival, man can't imitate. Now that's where the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and Jesus is exactly the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the book of Acts is written all over again, only this time it has different names. It has, instead of Peter, James, and John, it has Bronk, Rick, and Homer.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And others among you, I just don't know your names. Amen? You see what I'm saying? And it says, yes, and they went out in the name of the Lord, and the Lord worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. And they preached in the name of the Lord, and the crippled man leaped and walked, and a great multitude gathered, and they wondered. See, that's why they're called signs and wonders. You know it? Yeah, it's a sign and it makes people wonder. You know. They're going, and finally their brain starts going the right direction. They see a man born crippled, never could walk from his mother's womb, and now he's leaping and jumping and praising God, and then they're beginning to go, "I don't think Bronk can do that. I don't think Bronk did that. That might have been God." Yeah, see. And then you can forget about door knocking campaigns. The biggest problem you're going to have is having big enough doors for them to fit in here. And you're going to have to move outside and start preaching in this field out here. And that's a real revival. But now that is never going to come to Immokalee. I'm telling you straight, I came here with this message. Unless you understand the difference between the old covenant and the new. Because if you are born again, you are born of the Spirit of God. And He did that for the express purpose that you could learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit just in the same way that Jesus cooperated with the Holy Spirit. So that things that seem bizarre to the natural man's thinking, they don't even seem bizarre to you. When the Lord was teaching me about that, He said, I was asking Him, I know it's late, but if any of you really have to go, I won't be offended. You know, you understand what I'm saying? But I'm going to have to get this out or perish. All right? Hallelujah. Now, when He was teaching me about this, He was saying, because I was going, come on, God, really, tell me, please, what is it really you want me doing? Like, what's my call? You understand what I mean? You know, give me precise, I want my walking orders. Give me my instructions. And I mentioned this last night. What He said to me, He said, son, I'd like to give you the actual instructions. But if I was to really tell you tonight, at your present level of understanding, what it is I really want you to do, it would be bizarre to you. Your mind would immediately rise up and say, that's not God. And I said, I'm just telling you plain. I said, I wouldn't either. Well, don't y'all talk to God like He's real? Yeah. You know? I said, I wouldn't either. Why do you think I've been over here praying all these hours? I'm wanting to find out my instructions. I wouldn't either. I wouldn't act like that. And He says, would you like an example? Yes, I would. You know? I mean, it offended me. It hurt my feelings when He said that. And He says, well, let me see, I'll give you an example. And He says, when my son preached a sermon on, talking of Jesus, when he preached the Sermon on the Mount, and then he was through and the people dispersed, and eventually, you know, he stayed on the mountain to pray. And the disciples went down and got in a boat, and they were in the process of going over to the other side. So Jesus, He finishes His prayers, He comes down off of the mountain, He walks down to the seashore, the disciples are already gone, and He says, He asked me what to do. He wanted His instructions. And I told Him, well, just catch up with the disciples. Just walk on the water. And that didn't seem bizarre to Him. Would it to you? Can we move on to the next subject, Lord? I'm back to the prayer closet now, yes. You know. And that's really one of the main reasons that we spend so much time in prayer. You are a spirit-born person. You are not even limited by the laws of physics. The laws of physics say a human being cannot walk on water. A spirit-born, spirit-trained person can. Our thinking has got to completely change. Did I tell here or in the morning about the slice of bread? Y'all help me. Wednesday morning, let me tell about the slice of bread. Because about this same time, He gave me another little lesson. One day, when I pray at an ugly building. I purposely go, it's ugly, isn't it? There, you literally have to tread on serpents and scorpions. I mean, it's a rough place. And purposely I go there because there's no distractions. There's no telephone. There's no TV. It's got a big gate. I can lock it and keep you out. Or I can pray. But anyway, I go over there. And one day I was fixing to leave the house early. I try and be over there by 6 or shortly after. And I was getting everything ready, you know. And I just kept hearing the Lord say, take a slice of bread with you. And I don't normally. How many of y'all just leave the house with a slice of bread, you know? Take a slice of bread with me. But it just kept coming up 2 or 3 times. Excuse me. So finally, I went and got a slice of bread. I had no idea why he wanted me to take a slice of bread with me, but I went over there. And I'd been praying, and just praying in the Spirit for a little while and worshiping the Lord. And then suddenly, he said, get that slice of bread out. Okay, so now I got it's just a plain old slice of wheat bread. Okay? Like you can buy at any store. And he said, walk out in front of the building. There's a sidewalk out in front where I kind of pace up and down, you know. And so I walked out there, and there's a big open field. And he says, now I want you to picture 5,000 people sitting in that grass field. And I go, I think I know what's coming, you know. Okay? And he says, now, take that slice of bread and feed those people with it. And can you imagine the depth of my inadequacy at that moment? And he says, now that's why. That's why, son. You have to spend the time in prayer. You are a spirit-born person. If you will let me spirit train you by my Holy Spirit, you won't even be bound by the laws of physics. Because I am not. I am not. What do you think a miracle is? It upsets the apple cart of physics, does it not?
Amen.
Remember the man born blind? We are going to go to Mark 4, aren't we, Lord? I have to. Remember the man that was born blind? Now, that particular time, and as far as I can tell, it's the only time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where this man was born blind. He was about 40 years old. Now, everyone say birth defect.
Birth defect.
He was born blind. Something was missing. It doesn't tell us what it was. It could have been a retina. It could have been the optic nerve. It could have been... He may not have had any eyeballs. I think if he hadn't had any eyeballs, it probably would have said. But something at the man's birth was defective or missing so that he couldn't see. Fair enough? Now, in that particular instance, and I've heard all kinds of flaky stuff taught about this. Thank God for the Holy Ghost and praying in other tongues. It's all, whenever the Holy Ghost shows it to you, it is so simple and it makes perfect sense and it fits from Genesis to maps. You don't have to force a doctrine. Now, watch this. I got to move this. Let's just picture right here is that blind man. Now, he's born something missing, okay? And Jesus, for some unknown reason to us, see, he goes over and he spits on the ground and he makes some clay, okay? And he comes over and he puts it on the man's eyes. Now, I've heard all kinds of stuff about that. See there, God uses natural substances. Do you honestly believe that there was any healing virtue in the mud? No, there wasn't. No. Let me show you what he was doing. Now, remember, meditation, part of meditation of the Word, who is he talking to? Who's the audience? Because he'll tailor the message for who's listening. Now, everyone that's watching this are Jewish people. They know the book of Genesis. They know how God made man in the first place. How did God make man? He took the earth and he formed man, did he not? That they all know that and they're watching now. Jesus is trying to show them who he is. Oh, the man was born with something missing. Watch this. Remember how God made man in the first place? My Father lives in me, and He can still create. He was showing them a vision. He was giving them a visual demonstration, trying to get it across to them that Father in me, He is the Creator. And actually the Word says, the Son Himself, by Him were all things created.
Yes.
I mean, he was being real nice about it, but he was going basically, get a clue. Do you understand who I am? It doesn't matter that the man was born missing something. Whatever he needs, I will create it for him.
Yes.
What he does for one, he will do for the other. And you are the other. And everybody in this town that needs a healing of a birth defect, they're wishing to God we would grow up in Christ where he could do that through you. It's fine to go get your miracle, but he would like to use you to go distribute some in Immokalee. Now, would you like to see a visual demonstration of that? All right. Thank you. Mark 4. I didn't know how we were going to get here from that. Do y'all like that about the... Oh, isn't that something? The word is rich. That's why he did that. He's showing them, I am the Creator. The Father is in me. I am the Creator. Watch this. Doesn't matter what the man's mission. I'll make it for him. Now, watch this. Now, so again, everything coming up to tonight, this is our last night. In order to operate, let's just say beyond the laws of physics, spirit-born people, we're going to have to be spirit-trained so that we can start operating like Jesus operates. It is not bizarre to him to walk on water. It is not bizarre to him to multiply loaves and fishes and feed 5,000 people. It's bizarre to us, isn't it? Okay, but it's not bizarre to him. Now, it's not bizarre to him to take clay and put on a man's eyes and have the man be healed. Even if he needs a creative miracle. It's not bizarre. Okay? In order to ever begin thinking and acting and cooperating with the Holy Spirit on that kind of level, the first three nights, he has been over and over again trying to show you the difference. You are not in the same condition. You are not even the same kind of human. Okay? That'll fly. You are a new creature. A new species of being that never existed on the earth before. Now, the people under the law had a dead spirit. A nature passed down from fallen Adam. Generation to generation, that death nature was passed generation to generation. That's what we've been talking about night after night, right? Till we come all the way down to Jesus. Now, when he shows up, he says, I am from above. Where did his spirit come from? The Holy Ghost came, overshadowed a virgin, and his spirit did not come from Adam. It came directly from heaven. Amen? So there's no death nature in him, see? Now, the old covenant, they were dead in their spirits. So God gave them a law. He could not deal with them spirit to spirit. So he had no other way of controlling them except in the flesh. So he gave them the law with penalties. Basically, if you do it, you get a whooping. You see? Same way you train your kids till they grow up, isn't it? You know, till they mature. But the thing of it is, there was no way for those people under that covenant to ever mature. They could not be born again. But how many knows at the cross we have a change of covenant? Now, and the whole reason that Jesus went through that agony and suffered what he suffered and was then raised from the dead, one day the Holy Spirit told me, he said, Jesus was glorified in order to be multiplied. He is called the seed. And when you got born again, that seed of life, from this time not coming from the first man, Adam, but from the second man, the last man, Adam, life from him came in to you. And you have a spirit that is capable of being trained by the Holy Ghost to where even the laws of physics are no barrier to you. That's why the Bible says in Galatians, we looked at that one, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Well, now the problem we've had, our teachers, for the most part, thank God for the ones we've had, but for the most part, our teachers have taught us rather than teach us how to turn ourselves over to the teacher. Was that too much? Let me say it this way. See, God didn't send Gary Carpenter here really to teach you. You'll never find in your Bible where it says, I will send you Gary Carpenter to lead you into all truth. Amen. I will send you Brock Flint to guide you into all truth. Now, he said he was going to send somebody. Who was it? But then he says, Jesus says, I will send unto you the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, and he He, personal pronoun, He Himself will guide you into all truth. Now see what we haven't known. I didn't know it till I found, or the Lord led me to Pastor Dave. He was the first one to show me there was a way on purpose, just because you want to let your spirit be trained by God Himself to where you don't even think like a natural human being anymore, but you begin thinking according to the mind of Christ. And now remember, the mind of Christ does not consider it bizarre to walk on water, multiply loaves and fishes, to feed the 5,000, or to create optic nerves, or to cast out devils. Or He's not even limited by the laws of physics. And we have the potential to get there if we can turn ourselves over to the only one who can train us. But that's the Holy Ghost. So all that time you spend, you get away in your prayer closet and you start passing those mysteries. It's just like you went in, sat down in the classroom of the Holy Ghost. He goes to the chalkboard. And what's great about it, it's like you're the only person in this university. And you have the undivided attention of God the Holy Ghost Himself saying, now get this, here's God the Holy Ghost saying, I'm really glad you came. I'll teach as long as you can stay. If you can give me 5 minutes, I'll teach you everything I can in 5 minutes. You give me 1 hour, I'll teach you everything I can in 1 hour. You give me 8 hours, I'm going to teach you some neat stuff. Glory to God. You see? But what He's doing is taking us from natural man, the way a natural person thinks, all the way if we'll let it. One of the scriptures we ended up last night was in, I don't need to turn there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul says, I've been delivered all the way to death. That doesn't mean what you think. He says, I've died to the natural man's ways completely. I don't think like a natural man. My motivations are not the same as a natural man. What I mean is an unborn again person, not trained by the Holy Ghost. He says, no, I've been delivered all the way. I don't even think like that. I'm crucified to the world. I don't even think like the world anymore. Why? Why did I go through that mortification process? That the life of Jesus, the very life of Jesus, might be made manifest in my mortal flesh. So when He lays His hand on the little blind child, the little blind child sees. And it'll be just that way in this church if we learn how to turn ourselves over to the trainer, the Holy Spirit. Is that shouting ground or what? Praise Him for just a minute. Hallelujah! Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Now, getting around to Mark 4, this won't take too long. That was my introduction. No. See, Mark 4, everything we said earlier about it's right. When I started understanding that what the gospel is really all about, God the Father is re-sowing the earth with life. He finds all these dead people, dead in their spirits from Adam. And now God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish but would have everlasting life. So God, before she got born again, she's dead in her trespasses and sins. God sends a laborer into the harvest, preaches the gospel to her, and says, if you believe on Him, you will have life. She says, I believe on Him. God goes, boom, sowed another one, life. And it, one by one by one, all over the world, He's been reseeding the earth with life spirits. No longer descended with that death nature from Adam. But got all these born again people all over the world now. And they've got that seed of life, see, that life from Jesus Christ on the inside with unlimited potential even beyond the laws of physics. If we ever get that life transferred from our spirit up into our brain, where we begin to think like Him. Now, when I started understanding that, and I started, now wait a minute. The sower sows the word. If you look at Mark 4, verse 14, really in the Greek what that says, the sower soweth the word. the Logos. I thought of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Word was, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. The sower, when he came to her, God the Father, when she got born again, same thing happened to you. When you got born again, what really happened? The Father sowed the Logos right into you. Suddenly, there's something of Jesus Christ, His Spirit, His life in you. Now, I got to meditating Mark 4 from that perspective. See, when Christ is in us, how many of you know the Bible says He is the seed? Okay? I will multiply thy seed, he saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of singular one. That seed is Christ. And if you be Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So when look at the last, we don't have time to go line by line, but let's look at the last example that Jesus gave in Mark 4, starting in verse 30. He says, now let's read it. Let me modernize it just a little. Where he says here, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? Let's put it in plain English for today. How's this stuff work? I want you to understand what's coming. I'm going to be glorified. God is going to multiply me and sow me into you like a seed. See, that's what he's fixing to tell them. I want you to understand how it's going to work. See, because this was before the cross. We're after the cross. But we can read it and see how this is supposed to work, see? All right, now he's going, here's what it is. Look at verse 31. Let me preface it with this. When God sows me into you, it's going to be like a grain of mustard seed at first. It's going to be less than all the other seeds that be in the earth. Let's stop for a minute. What Bronk said that the Lord taught me one time. Now see, when you get born again, trouble is there's other seeds in you. How about the love of money? See, one day when I was praying in tongues, and the Lord, I've been praying a long time and I hadn't heard anything. I said, Lord, what are you doing? I'm driving the money changers out of the temple. He was talking about my temple. See, because I still had money changers at that point in my life, to be honest with you. I still made my decisions based on money, pretty much. Where are we going to live? Where are we going to send our kids to school? What kind of car are we going to drive? I didn't check with the Lord at first on those kind of things. You know, I was like nearly all Americans I know. You know, you make your decisions based on money. See? Don't you still make your decisions? No, I don't. Whatever He says to me, I do that. But that took a while. See? His seed, look what it says. I'm getting excited here. It's like a grain of mustard seed, the new birth. When it is sown in the earth, it's less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Now, to help understand, back up real quick in the same place, to go back to verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns. Thorns, there's thorn seeds in you. Thorn seeds. Like what? Well, we could find out one real easy. We could find out real quick if there's any thorns of the love of money in you. All we have to do is dump about $1 million on you overnight. Would we see you in church? Would your attendance get shorter as your cars got longer? We'd find out, though, see? I mean, some seeds don't grow till you put the right fertilizer on them. Now, see, some of you live pretty holy right now, and I know that. But for some of you, it's because you can't afford to sin like you'd really like to. And that's the good thing about the Holy Ghost. What's scary, we oftentimes have thorns in us, seeds in us. We don't even know they're there. But somebody come along, it's like putting gasoline on a spark, you know. So, do you live holy? Yes, I do. Here's $1 million. We'll watch you next week. You know? There may be some thorn seeds in there even you didn't know were in there. And that's what he's saying, see. It starts off. It's like the tiny, isn't that what he says? Look, it's like the tiniest grain of, verse 31, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown at your new birth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But see, good ground, I love something that Rick Contreras said. Let me tell you what good ground is. In a practical engineering point of view, okay? Good ground. That's you. There's nothing wrong with the seed. Every blessed one of you, that when you get born again, I mean, it's an incorruptible seed that come into you. There's nothing wrong with that seed. And whether or not it ever grows into a big tree doesn't have a thing to do with that seed. It's got everything to do with you. Rick Contreras, it's hard for me to picture. Now, some of you may have known him before. Rick, just in case there's some here. That's Rick in the booth. He was telling me, he says, I used to tell people, I used to weigh, and no condemnation to anybody, listen, this is just his testimony. He used to weigh 325 pounds, had hair halfway down his back, big long beard, sit there in his easy chair with a beer in one hand and a doobie in the other, and he'd say, I don't want your God. I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. What I want is what I want when I want it. And I want my beer and my doobies, and you leave me alone. Do you think there was any thorns in that man's ground? But the part I loved, see, he had to hit pretty low. A lot of us do have to hit pretty low. He was in prison when the Lord came to him, and a man came and witnessed to him. But here's the part. Now here's the part that determines your ground. When I heard this, I knew Rick Contreras was good ground. Because he said, Jesus, when I worked for the devil, I gave him 110%. Now that I'm going to work for you, I'm going to give you 110%. I will serve you all the days of my life. My life belongs to you. Now when the ground begins to give its full attention to the seed, it's up to the ground how big the ministry of Jesus gets in you. Now let me get it more blunt. I don't want you to guess at what I mean. Those of you that after these few days, I hope to God I've kindled a fire in you some, to get in your prayer closet and let the Holy Spirit begin training you to think like a Spirit-born person. I hope to God there's some in here that's good enough ground, because let me tell you just, well, I don't know, I can't repeat that message, but if you don't give him the time, you yourself are not going to be in the revival. You'll watch it from afar, and would to God that you had prayed so you could participate. And it's good to watch it. That's better, you know, than nothing, I guess. But I'm hoping to God that you be the ground that will expose that seed who the Holy Spirit, because the seed in you will draw, that new life, that Spirit on the inside of you will draw from the Holy Ghost everything Christ is, till you come to the place that you walk as He walked.
Hallelujah.
Well, He walked beyond the laws of physics, let me tell you that. And I'm an engineer, I understand physics. Now, would you like to see, verse 32, but when it is sown, everyone say after me, it groweth up.
It groweth up.
It groweth up.
It groweth up.
Now don't repeat this. That's God's plan for you. That new spirit, that new creature that you are not, and it is in no wise God's plan to lead you by law. Why do you think He went to all the trouble of Jesus going to the cross, suffering what He suffered, to bring an end to that system? So that He could be glorified and be reduplicated in you in seed form. So that new nature that's on the inside of you. And He sent a teacher for the express purpose of causing that seed, look what He says, to grow up into a mighty tree. Verse 32, when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs. Jesus in you becomes greater than all those other thorn seeds. Jesus in you becomes greater than the love of money. Jesus in you does away with all agendas, I'm telling you now. See, y'all don't understand. I mean, you guys have treated Sue and I like a king and a queen down here. that'd take us out to eat, and just when we checked into the motel, you know, there was a giant fruit basket, dear Lord, you know, beautiful thing over there. And I told Rick, I said, just whatever, you know, but he's taken up an offering, and I know you people have given. You don't understand. I would have paid to come here. I'm not my own. My agendas died a long time ago. I'm not even trying to build a ministry at all. I'm trying to serve Him. That's all I want. And I don't want to just serve Him. I want to serve Him. I want to, when I come, bless God, have the bread off of the Father's table. Jesus is the bread. So when we... I mean, that's what forces me back into that closet. But I would have paid to come here. I'd have sold all I had if Jesus said, I want you in Immokalee. Make a lick of difference to me. I'm here. But I mean, I want you to understand, I appreciate it. I didn't say that. We appreciate everything you've done. But He gets bigger than your agendas. He gets bigger than your ambitions. He gets bigger than the love of money. Nothing matters anymore. He becomes the tree that takes over the whole garden. And not my will, but thine be done, Father. That's all I want now. That's all I want. He's giving me the same heart that beats in His chest. Hebrews, that one verse, it just comes out of me all the time. It says, lo, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I have come to do thy will, O God. I want that on my epitaph, on my tombstone, if the Lord tarries. I came to do thy will. That's all. That's all I want. Hallelujah. Now, real quickly, I want you to see. Now, Jesus loves visual demonstrations. He is the best teacher you will ever meet. And in the same way, that's why He used the mud to try and teach them with a visual demonstration that they are dealing with the Creator. Okay? After He has spent all day teaching this to them, then He gives the perfect visual demonstration, trying to show them here what it's going to be like once they're born again. Go on down to verse 35, and we'll go through this fairly quickly. Notice it says, and the same day. Now He's been teaching them all day long by precept, line upon line, precept upon precept. Now He's about to teach them by demonstration. He's going to show them a visual demonstration of what it's going to be like in the kingdom of God once they get born again. You ready? When the evening was come, He saith unto them, let us, now notice, let us pass over to the other side. First thing you're going to have to understand about this kingdom, He can't do anything without you. And without Him, you can do nothing. First thing, that us, you'd have no idea everything that's at this point, everything that He's teaching with that one word, let us. See, I teach prosperity seminars all the time. I don't really use that word because prosperity preachers have kind of got a bad name now. If you ever come to mind, you won't ever hear anything like what you've heard, I promise you. But that still doesn't take away from the fact God doesn't want His people poor. If He did, why did Jesus have a treasurer on staff for the express purpose of giving to the poor everywhere they went? Amen. I mean, He doesn't like it. If God likes poverty so much, why doesn't He choose to live in it Himself? You ever read about heaven? Jasper walls, diamond doorknobs, streets of gold. I mean, He doesn't like the stuff. He just... I like the way I heard Norville say it the first time. He says, God has lots of blessings. He's hoping you get some of them. Isn't He, bro? We better go on. Dear God, help me. The same day, when the evening was come, He saith to them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great... Now, wait a minute. Let's stop right there. What visual picture do we have? Remember now, He's going to show them, He's teaching them by a visual demonstration how it's going to be. Now let's see. We have a ship. We have a vessel with Christ in it and his disciples in the same vessel. Hold out your arm. Pat it like this. That's your vessel. Now let me ask you, are you in there?
Yes.
If you're born again, is Christ in there?
Yes.
Now is that Christ and his disciple, you, in the same vessel?
Yes.
Can you see he's giving them a visual demonstration?
Yes.
He's fixing to show them how this is going to work. He's using everything that he can in the natural to show them how it's going to operate in the kingdom of God. Now what? And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now stop again. Back up. In the same chapter, Laws of Meditation, back up to, verse 15, Mark 4:15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Well, now let's see. How do we see that in this visual demonstration? They receive the word. See, the leadership always comes from him in you. Notice it was Jesus that said, "Let us pass over to the other side." They got their marching orders, didn't they? All right? They're in the same vessel with him, and that's the way it'll be with you. If you pray, you'll start hearing His voice. And you'll start getting His leadership. And He'll say, I teach one lesson that's called Be a Taxi for Jesus. Well, that's really what we are. He comes and He says, this brother here starts praying. And the word of the Lord comes into him saying, let's go down to the farmer's market. Let us go to the farmer's market. There's a man there that you need to tell Jesus loves you. His name is Fred. That's the kind of leadership he is. He lives, you know. His name is Fred. He'll be in the third booth on the right. Be there at 2. He'll be smoking a cigar. Leadership. Now that's the kind of leadership. We have a living Lord. He is an intelligent being. He has made us intelligent creatures. And He is perfectly capable of giving you precise instructions just like that.
Right.
Let us go. And then you'll get your marching orders. He didn't ever talk to me like that, Brother Gary. Well, now you just told me volumes about you, didn't you?
That's right.
How much time was it you're spending in your prayer closet? How many days in a row that goes by when you're too busy to talk to Him? That means too busy to pray. Pray, I said. Now, I'm being nice. But notice what happens. They heard the instructions. They heard the instructions. They set out to obey precisely what he said, didn't they? They're, bless God, they're going to the other side. Just like that brother there. He'd be headed to the farmer's market at 2 o'clock. But now notice, Satan cometh immediately. A great storm, verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now, I don't know how it is in Florida, but in Oklahoma, when the waves beat into a ship until it's now full, I don't know how it is here. They sink there. Do they do that here too? Okay. The devil has come to stop this mission. We know this storm is from the devil because later on we see Jesus stop it, and he is not going to stop the work of God. See? I heard a preacher recently when those tornadoes went through Nashville. I don't know why God sent that tornado to blow down my church. God's not in the business of tearing down churches. He's in the business of building them. The devil sent a tornado and blew the man's church down, and he's too dumb to know who it was. He has perfect liberty to call me dumb because I still do lots of dumb stuff. But that was just dumb. God's not in the business of sending tornadoes to blow churches down, for crying out loud. But the devil is in the business of stopping you when you start obeying God. Jesus said He's going to come and try and stop you. That's another reason to pray so you won't be ignorant of His devices.
Amen.
All right, now let's keep going. Hallelujah. Y'all seeing this visual demonstration? He's trying to show them, line by line, how it's going to work. Thank you. I'm okay. Thank you. All right. Now, verse 38. The ship's full. I mean, it's full. They're in trouble. Jesus, He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him. Now, by the way, that's the part that I never could figure out until I started meditating from the point of view of the Father who has sown Christ into our heart out of this passage. You'll see it here in a minute. We'll come back to it. But He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, Now get this, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, that just flat bugged me for years. Because, going back to their brother here, I mean, if he was Peter, and Jesus said, let us go to the other side, and here they go. I mean, it's not like they didn't obey Him. By golly, they set right out to do it. So that, to me, that's commendable, number one. A great storm arose. Well, thank God there's fishermen on board. They've spent their whole life, you know, their adult life making a living on this lake. If there's anybody that ought to be able to weather this storm, it would be these fishermen, amen? So I can just see them putting their backs into it and straining and pulling on ropes and two or three men hanging onto the rudder. And, I mean, they're working hard to obey Jesus, see? And I'm going, well, commendable number two. And it's not like they're wimps, you know, and at the first little drop of rain, go wake up Jesus, go wake up Jesus, you know, we're in trouble. No, they wait until the ship is full. Full ship, sink. And they're waiting until, I mean, it's they're right, commendable number three. And so finally, I mean, they're doing exactly what I would have done. Finally, when there is no alternative, you know, then they go and wake up Jesus and He handles it and turns around and says to them, how is it that you have no faith? Now, if that's bothering you right now, like it used to bother me, it's because we think like a natural man. We do not understand the laws of the Spirit at all. Let me show you what I mean. We'll get, okay? You ought to write this down. I'm going to wait till I hear. And for those of you who didn't bring anything to write on, get the tape. It's not like you can't afford it. Listen to it and then write it down. This is what Jesus calls no faith. The Gary Carpenter paraphrase. Substituting human effort for spiritual authority is what Jesus calls having no faith at all. Substituting human effort for spiritual authority is what Jesus calls having no faith at all. I'm going to handle it myself, God. Thank you very much. And aren't you impressed with how hard I am working for you? Jesus, can't you see how hard we're working trying to get this boat across this storm? Jesus, aren't you impressed? No, He's not impressed. And if we'll ever get it, they could have done that. Let me put it this way. Everything they were doing, an unborn again natural man could do. You say, well, they were unborn again at this point. At this point right here, because there was a visual demonstration, they were going across in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And had any one of them understood what Jesus had been talking about all day long and spoken in His name, peace, be still, the Holy Spirit would have calmed that sea just like He did for Jesus. That's what He's trying to teach them. See, now here it is. I could, until I started understanding this. Why did he stay asleep? Now remember, it's a visual demonstration. He's trying to teach us. He's trying to teach us how to function in this new kingdom. So, I mean, do you think he didn't know there was a storm? Of course he knew there was a storm. He's God in the flesh. I mean, he knew all that. So he's teaching us something by staying asleep. You want to know what it is? For additional tapes by Gary Carpenter? Yeah. He's trying to show us in this kingdom, we're the ones with the vessel. We're the ones in authority in His name. Now see, the whole, it's Him that gives the leadership. It's Him in us that we take everywhere we go. It's, now see, when they got to the other side, those of you that know the story, is where He cast the legion of devils out of the demoniac. Right? Now, so it's Jesus, you just pick it up in the next chapter, they get over there, and who is it that comes out of that vessel to rescue the man? It's Jesus. Just look at Mark 5 real quick. Verse 2. Once they get over there, just to show you. See, it's Him that gives the leadership, it's Him that we're transporting, and it's Him with the anointing. You see? And look at verse 2. And when He was come out of the ship... See, when you come and you lay your hands on that little person, you lay your hands on that little child, you okay? It's Christ in you, isn't that right?
Yes.
And when that, if anything's going to happen, you know what's going to happen? It's Jesus working out of your vessel. That anointing is going to flow out of the ship, and it's going to go out of you and into that person. And it's Him. It's Him. See, it's not us, it's Him. He's flowing through our spirit if we can ever get ourselves trained to think like the Spirit. Hallelujah. Is that good stuff?
Amen.
The reason, see, the whole deal was, he says, and this is where the church stumbles more than anything else. Oh God, stop the storm. Oh God, move the mountain. And what did he say about those mountains? You speak to the mountain. The one thing that the body of Christ truly still does not understand. There's many things. One thing. We don't understand the level of authority He's given us. And the whole reason He stayed asleep in that ship was to teach us, if you don't open your mouth and use the authority of words in My name, I can't. And the devil will defeat you every time. Because you can't... That was a spiritual storm. It was spawned in the Spirit. And you can't stop a spiritual attack with natural methods. Do you notice when Jesus did get up, He didn't grab an oar and help them paddle the boat?
Praise God.
That would have been, had He done that, He would have been saying they were doing the right thing. They weren't doing the right thing. They were handling it like natural men would handle it. A sinner could handle it that way. A person under the law could handle it that way. Now, what did Jesus... Now, since He was still in a flesh and blood body at this moment, fine, He doesn't want them to die just to teach them a lesson, okay? You know? So, fine, He gets up and He shows them how to do it. Does He grab an oar?
No.
Does He start giving them the men instructions on what to do?
No.
Does He open His mouth and use the authority that He has?
Yeah.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And then He says, peace! Be still! He spoke His desire.
Oh, praise God.
And the Holy Spirit enforced His words. Why? Because Jesus knew His authority. The Holy Spirit will enforce ours if we ever learn we have authority. But if we don't stop that cowardly running under the couch, oh God, stop the mountain, oh God, the devil's after me, oh God, the storm is bad, He would come to you. You wouldn't like it, just like they didn't like it. And He would say, I don't want to pick on anybody. How is it that you have no faith? Why are you asking me to do what I've already authorized you to do? You're the one with the flesh and blood body. See, to have authority on this planet, you have to have a flesh and blood body. Now think about this, just as a quick illustration. After Jesus was glorified, after He had that resurrected body, You search your Bible yourselves. From the time He was resurrected till the time He ascended back into heaven, 40 days or so, you won't find that He ever cast out one devil. He never healed one person.
Amen.
He never did one miracle. That we don't see another miracle until the book of Acts.
Amen.
When Peter and John are going by the by the gate beautiful and the lame man and that whole incident. And the very next miracle is done in the name of Jesus through the disciples' vessel.
Amen.
And they were the ones that spoke the word of authority.
Amen.
In His name. But Jesus couldn't do it once He was resurrected because He has a different kind of body now. It belongs to the next dispensation, the millennium. We're all going to have one over there. And we will have authority there because Adam's lease will have run out. But once, as long as we're still in this dispensation, Adam's lease has not completely run out yet. And if you're going to have authority in the earth, you have to have a flesh and blood body. That's why Christ has to work through us. He has no authority here except through us. Now look, go to Matthew. Where? Last couple of verses. Well, okay, yeah, like I know it now. Yeah, Matthew 28. Verse 18, hallelujah. I knew it all the time. Isn't it nice not to have to put on airs? We can just be transparent. And are y'all liking this? Matthew 28, verse 18. Now see, it says in the King James, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power." Now, really, in the Greek language, there are two words translated power. One of them is dunamis. That's where we get the word dynamite. And it means explosive, real power. The other one is exousia. And what it means is authority. And that's the word used here. Okay? All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. What did Kenneth Hagin say? When you find the word therefore, you better find out what it's there for. Okay? He just got through telling you what it's there for. Listen. When Jesus spoke these words, He has already been raised from the dead. He already has a glorified body. He says, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, in heaven, He has no problem exercising authority. But if He's going to exercise that authority on the earth, the therefore is why He says, "Now I have it, but if it's going to be used in the earth, go ye therefore and do all of this work in my name." And if we don't go ye, neither does He.
Amen.
He can't. Matthew 28, verse 18. Now see, it says in the King James, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power." Now, really, in the Greek language, there are two words translated power. One of them is dunamis. That's where we get the word dynamite. And it means explosive, real power. The other one is exousia. And what it means is authority. And that's the word used here. Okay? All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. What did Kenneth Hagin say? When you find the word therefore, you better find out what it's there for. Okay? He just got through telling you what it's there for. Listen. When Jesus spoke these words, He has already been raised from the dead. He already has a glorified body. He says, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, in heaven, He has no problem exercising authority. But if He's going to exercise that authority on the earth, the therefore is why He says, "Now I have it, but if it's going to be used in the earth, go ye therefore and do all of this work in my name." And if we don't go ye, neither does He.
Amen.
He can't. How come He had to send Peter a vision of a sheet let down from heaven and all of that, so that Peter could go and preach the gospel at Cornelius' house? How come Jesus didn't just manifest and preach the gospel Himself?
Authority. Authority. Peter's the one with authority. Peter's the one wearing the flesh and blood body. Peter's the one with the vessel. What he's trying to show him from Mark 4, no, it's going to be me and you in your vessel. You are the captain of your vessel. And if you don't take authority in this world with the authority I've given you in my name, the work just flat won't be done. When I was praying earlier, or I guess it was last year, the Lord gave me this phrase, and this is the title of this tape tonight. He said, if my people ever learn, I am the Lord of all, and my people are my agents of authority on the earth. That's what he means. Do you understand? Agent of authority? Businessmen, they sign a power of attorney. Give it to a lawyer. And they say, you, right by my signature here, you can handle all my affairs in my name. I authorize you. And that is exactly what Jesus has done. Now, the neat part about it is, He has come so we don't make any mistakes. He's in here with us. And He will lead us, just like we saw in Mark 4. He'll tell us precisely where to go. And then once we get there, it's Him that even does the work. But the devil is going to come trying to stop you with mountains and storms and sickness and depression and God knows what all. And if we ever learn, we are the agent of authority. And if we don't speak to it, He can't. He can't. If we don't ever learn that, the devil is going to keep you paddling your boat with fleshly efforts your whole life. And your boat's going to sink just like all the other churches that don't have revival either. Now, they're going to be teaching a lot, and I know they've done it some, but they're going to be teaching a lot about calling in the lost. The whole point of the reason I'm down here, I thank God for this sister that he talked about. I thank God for clothing people, feeding people. I mean, Jesus said you can't even drink of cold water in my name and lose your reward. See, I thank God for that. I thank God for all the people over these years that's been blessed. We're not wanting to do away with that kind of work. You understand what I'm saying? But listen, there's so much more to the gospel that we're not even touching. What about you'll do the same works that I did? Except the works that I did, you'll do also, and even greater works than these. That's the part we haven't known how to do. See, those things can only be handled in the Spirit. We are Spirit-born creatures, capable of being trained by the Holy Spirit Himself, so that none of those things seem bizarre to us. We'll rise up in our authority and stop the works of hell, speak the word of authority, and then let Jesus tell us where to take Him in our vessel. We're just a taxi for Christ now, a boat for Him. And He says, go over here, we take Him over there. What do you want to do now, Lord? Speak the word and I will heal him. Say the word and He heals him, and we go on our ship. He tells us where to take the vessel next, and we take Him somewhere else. I want to get somebody saved now. You see how it's supposed to work? Millions and millions of us. Didn't He say somewhere, occupy till I come? We are an invasion force.
Hallelujah.
First Immokalee, then Collier County, then all of South Florida. And like you said earlier, those that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus.